Dr. Lada Rozitsky is a Canadian international law and security expert in Ukraine. We met last November when I was in Kyiv at a press conference where she unveiled a documentary she produced on the plight of Ukraine's soldiers. She joins us now by phone from Kyiv. Lada, welcome. Vitayu.
Thank you very much, Colette.
Now, we met in November at the Ukraine Crisis Center, Media Center, press conference, and you had just finished a documentary that you were sharing about the plight of the soldiers who are very poorly, or at that time, at any rate, had been very poorly equipped with medical supplies. I think that's improved a little bit. Canada, the Canadian government has stepped up and sent some supplies over. Is that improving any in your experience?
Yes, definitely. Every little bit of aid from Canada or other democratic-oriented states is crucial to Ukraine actually fighting this terrible outright international aggression from Russia and Russian-sponsored terrorists. However, that being said, whether or not this material is enough and whether or not it's making it to the intended men and women fighting for the, for Ukraine's sovereignty is not very clear. And the reason that I say that is that the Ukrainian government, no matter how much it's trying to do a good job, is still very much under, I wouldn't say influenced, but challenged by forces that still belong to the Communist Party and the former Party of Regions. Some of them still hold some key positions in government, as you know. So it's a little bit of a struggle inside of Ukraine inside of the Ukrainian government and administration to really weed out the bad seeds who are actually not really acting in the best interest of Ukraine.
Now, is there a process of lustration? They had talked about that, and of course, lustration means weeding out corruption. And it's, I mean, the corruption is just so entrenched, and of course, it's, you know, people overthrew a corrupt regime that, you know, I guess they knew had ties to a much larger corrupt regime, which is now invading the country. But I would imagine it would be very difficult for people. When I was in Kyiv, you know, I was warned, you don't know. You can't, you know, people, the moles look like everybody else. And so that must cause a lot
yes.
of stress.
It causes a lot of stress, and the situation is having a really, really difficult time to actually realize itself in Ukraine, partially because some of the people who are involved in the process would actually have to be in a position where they have to lustrate themselves.
Yeah.
And lustration, and they're definitely not interested in that, particularly because of the financial and economic interest that they have, let alone their own geopolitical intentions. So you mentioned corruption, which is a very, very, very deep-seated problem that Ukraine is struggling with, and countries such as the United States and Canada really need to be commended on their determination to democracy in Ukraine by supporting reform projects focusing on good governance, rule of law, and the struggle against corruption. Now, talking about lustration and the Communist Party, there's a really big, important link to be made between international corruption in Ukraine, and the Communist Party. When the Soviet Union fell apart, I liked it when your previous guest, Lydia, had mentioned that most states in the Soviet Union didn't really want to be under the realm of the Kremlin. It was really a Communist Party that ruled over them. When the Soviet Union fell apart, the Communist Party members in nomenklatura did not go away. They remained, and many of them still remain in power in Ukraine. And what we've seen now since the fall of the Soviet Union is that this Communist Party network, socio-political network, has greatly transformed itself into an international political criminal network, which is not only putting Ukraine's territorial sovereignty at risk, it's really threatening the democracy in Europe, first and foremost Europe, and the freedom, the representation, equity, and justice that democracy is supposed to carry along with it has been very, very, very severely impacted by this, by money that has been siphoned out of Ukraine, but also siphoned out of Russia. The Russians have siphoned out so much money out of their own territory. I feel sorry for the Russian people. They live in terrible conditions. There is, like, poverty is rampant there, and I'm afraid that if Western democracies don't get their act together and realize that economics is not the only pillar of the European Union, the European Union can fall apart. And that's something that I think a lot of people are starting to pay attention to wisely.
Well, of course, that message is trying to be obscured, or it's not trying to be obscured. There are forces that are trying to obscure that, or at least confuse people as to, you know, the real situation and the consequences of not only, you know, supporting not support Putin, or it's to sit back and say, well, I don't agree with him, he's a bad guy, but at the same time refuse to support Ukraine. And you know, what is striking to me is the misinformation, the disinformation that has come out, and this is, I suppose, to confuse people and to make them maybe overlook the fact or not realize the fact that you know, Russia was never socialist, was never democratic. Talk about unfettered capitalism. That would be the most you know, obvious example of unfettered capitalism, because there's no accountability, no rule of law, and Putin is one of the richest men in the world. You know, I know that you're as frustrated as I am at the information warfare going on.
Yes, and again, bringing up this Communist Party link to it, as you know, I spent a significant part of my life in Europe, and I lived in certain northern areas of the Netherlands, which were full of Communist Party members, and some of them actually became my friends. And when I first met these people and understood that they were members of the Communist Party, I was quite, you know, shocked. And when I heard and listened to their stories, including communists from Paris, I realized that they have no idea what communism was in the Soviet Union. They really had this really beautiful idealistic perspective of communism. And this is where Putin and his informational war continues to work very, very effectively. Is if you look at Russia today, why so many Canadians and Americans, or like people all over the world, actually feed off of that information is because this group focuses on real social, political, environmental issues that democratic states are experiencing. And there are many of us who really care about the social problems in North America, for instance. Mm-hmm. And this informational warfare that he's funneling throughout the world is just feeding off of the fear and disappointment that people in democracies have. And people in democracies really need to realize that they're really very, very well off. And if they aren't really sure about it, they should take a trip to Russia, and not to Moscow, but, you know, somewhere around Kamchatka for a little bit. Maybe they'll change their mind.
Well,
and watch television in a little bit more intelligent fashion.
Well, yes, and try to get to some of these little villages on the roads that are, you know, worse than goat paths. And you know, I saw some of them in the Karpaty a couple of years ago when I was in Ukraine, and I was just appalled. And I know Ukraine's much better off than Russia, especially in the rural areas. Yeah.
Yes, and that's a fact. Now, one thing about community, because transportation, roadways, all of this is a way that we communicate with one another. And today we've had some pretty disturbing developments as far as communication is concerned in Ukraine. Ukraine's number one mobile telephone provider, Kyivstar, which is a subsidiary of a Dutch company, has shut down all coverage to Donbass and Luhansk.
Oh, my.
So now it's impossible. Yes, it's very. So we can't even call the people there who have only Kyiv Star numbers.
And why did they?
And
why?
The official statement, and this is a very key thing to listen to, and draw your own conclusions. Kyiv Star claims that it can no longer provide coverage in this area because Ukraine is no longer in effective control of those territories.
Oh my!
That's the official, yeah. And yesterday I was talking to a volunteer who was in the battle zones, and they were being shot at. At one point, they were yelling. I could hear explosions, and the phone went dead. Luckily, this woman was alive, and I could speak to her again. But now, forget it. There's no contact possible because it was a Kyiv Star number.
And there are travel restrictions to Ukraine, so you can't just hop in the car. You know, as crazy as you are, you would do that. I know that, and many Ukrainians are doing that. But you can't do that anymore.
Right. Well, it's possible to get into the territory, but the amount of documentation that you need to provide to Ukraine's secret services are it takes a significant amount of time. There's no guarantee that you'll be registered. And what is most concerning in this regard is that we all know that the volunteer groups have been really the lifeline,
mm-hmm.
The major lifeline to the young men and women fighting for Ukraine. And now with shutting down of this, indirect shutting down of this lifeline, America and the Western powers should really step up to the plate and help Ukraine
defend itself. Just to defend itself.
Help Ukraine defend itself, but also help Ukraine defend the rest of Europe. Let's look at what's happening along the eastern borders of Ukraine, central, eastern Europe, Greece. We're seeing a sway in discomfort. We have elections coming up, which just took place.
Mm-hmm.
If Ukraine loses this battle for democracy, there's no guarantee that this battle will not spread further, particularly through Moldova or the Baltic states.
And so we will see the level of affluence and freedom in the rest of Europe that is being experienced in the battle zones right now and Crimea.
Right. There's no real freedom of movement in a great part of Ukraine. And what is very disturbing, that this is a Russian aggression against Ukraine. It's also a Russian-sponsored terrorist operation. We saw Canada, Prime Minister Harper, introduce new laws and legislation pertaining to terrorism. And people who care about civil and political rights must be very keen on the extent to which they will allow anti-terrorist laws to be applied in a country that is peaceful. These laws need to be applied in Ukraine, definitely. They need to be applied in the Middle East. But civil rights groups really need to be alert and monitoring the situation rather carefully.
Well, Edward Snowden just was in Canada talking about urging Canadians to be cautious about this anti-terrorism bill. And I was just struck by the hypocrisy. I mean, he comes from Russia to lecture Canadians.
Yes.
It just seems, you know, he comes straight from the loving arms of Vladimir Putin, whose nemesis is Mr. Harper. I don't know.
Edward Snowden is the greatest traitor of democracy. And you know what's so sad about it is that he's a bright, clever man. And he really is destroying his work rather than focusing on the issues that are wrong in democratic countries and building something, fixing them.
Yeah.
He helped destroy the very important, delicate fabric that is keeping us together.
Well, I don't understand, you know, how people can't see that if they destroy, as you say, you know, the delicate balance that we have. We're still is a work in progress, is always a work in progress. You know, Mr. Putin will come in and impoverish all of us. and him and his cronies.
Yes.
And, you know, yes. It's who knows who those cronies are? Probably, you know, we're all fighting the same enemy and don't realize it. And it's, you know, the old divide and conquer, where the occupying forces get, you know, the grassroots people fighting amongst each other, so they don't know, you know, what's what, distract them, come in and take over and enslave us all.
Absolutely, and that's why it's so important that individual governments of democratic states don't forget to take care of their poor people and their social problems. That doesn't mean stop supporting, you know, the people who are fighting for democracy abroad. There needs to be a fine balance, and this balance is way out of whack. And it really appeal to the goodwill of the leaders and people who have influence to take responsibility and not be afraid to stand behind the principles of democracy and freedom. If they don't, I am afraid for what we're going to be seeing in the near future.
Lotta, it must be very difficult for you, you know, in Kyiv, you're Canadian, you know, your roots, your home is here. You know, but you're there and in the middle of it. And I mean, I was there just for a little while, you know, and people are always on edge. I don't know. How do you get through the day?
Oh, I've been preparing for this for a very long time. As an expert of the, and a fellow of the Harvard Black Sea Security Program, it's been clear that this is going to happen. So mentally and academically, professionally, I've been preparing myself. But to tell you the truth, it does get a little bit edgy. And sometimes I just really have to pull away and watch Golden Girls. That's what I like to do.
Well, you know what? We all need a laugh. And they say laughter is the best medicine. So, you know, it's a good thing that you're doing that and that you have coping mechanisms. So thank you so much for coming on, Lotta, and you know, giving us this insight. And you know, Tremaisia, stay safe. And and
Paulette, I would also Paulette, with your permission, I would like to also commend you for your work and your determination to get the word out. Without people like you, it would be a much, much more difficult fight we're fighting.
Oh, thank you so much for your kind words. I don't feel that I'm doing much at all, but if I can give a voice to you and get you on the air and others like you, especially from Ukraine, with, you know, a point of view that doesn't get reported in any media, alternative or mainstream, I'm happy to do so. Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Tremaisia.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Dr. Lotta Wozlitzky, international law and security expert, speaking with us from Kyiv. And you're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo.